And so I wanted to ask Teresa, again, you're going to get quite regular up here, I think. Can you hand her the microphone, Pastor? I've asked her to share. She had an opportunity to speak, and just a testimony, to a Muslim man and about Jesus. So would you go ahead and tell him? Yeah. Tell him what happened. Give him the background. What happened?
I had the privilege of a few Tuesdays ago to be at in the Right for Life Jericho March. We were marching around Washtenaw, Platte, Packard area, praying for the abortionists, praying for the end of abortion. As we were approaching the end of the march, and I was sort of towards the back, I saw this car with a Muslim man standing on it, smoking a cigarette. And we're in the march, we're praying. Well, the love of Christ just pulled me right out. And I said, hello, and I had my sign. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, we are praying for the life of children. I said, do you know there's an abortion center right over there? And then he got teary, and he said, my friend Lori just died. I don't know how he connected that, but maybe the death aspect. He went into his car. He had a little memorial. And I said, would you like me to pray for you? What is your name? My name's Teresa. He said, Musaf. And I said, he hands me his hand. Now, a Muslim man hands me his hand. I grasp his hand. And first I prayed for Lori and her family, the God of all comfort, and he's listening. And then I prayed for him, you know, that the Lord would come to him, that the Lord would appear to him in dreams, and just to bless him. And he kept saying, your march is going. It's almost gone. And I said, Jesus wanted me. If Jesus was here, he would just stop and go right out to you. I said, I kept saying, Jesus wanted me to stop for you. And he was very touched by that. And he said his wife was a Christian, which I thought was a little bit odd. And I said, but you're Muslim, correct? He said, yes. I said, but Allah did not rise from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead for you. He had no rebuttal. He did not feel defensive, so it was very lovely. And then I said, could you please come to our church, which I like to end anyone I meet. And he went into his car, hands me his cell phone, and, you know, I just Googled up, you know, Hot Rock, and I said, here's the website. He said, what time? And I said, look on your website, you know, and listen to some podcast. And so it was just a very good encounter. Just that the love of Christ would propel that one person standing there watching. Mm-hmm. And the other really neat part is I turned back to join the march. You know, they were almost back to the abortion facility. This makes me teary every time I say it. Five of the honor guards, they had the safety vests who were guiding us, were in a semicircle. And I turned around and I said, oh, you didn't have to wait. We said, you know, we wanted to protect you. And then they walked me back like an honor guard. They said, weren't you afraid? And I said, what? No. And I said, you know, that could have been, they said that could have been dangerous. I said, you know, what's dangerous is not stopping and proclaiming Jesus to them. Death is just a friend. I'm not afraid at all. And they walked me back. And later, the Lord, as I got in the car, I said, Lord, that was just amazing. It just so touched me. And he said, there is always, if only, that honor guard when you preach my name.
Amen. So. Thank you, Teresa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I always get inspired. You know, I know that there are Ifoma and Teresa are some of you who are going out and reaching people. This grace message that we have, that we've been given, is so precious and so powerful, but it isn't just for us. This is to reach the world, and the world, it's going down. Y'all know that. I mean, this is the reality of what we face. And that wide road that leads to destruction is eternal. It's forever. Hell is forever. There is no coming back. There is no rescue. There's no way out. It is a decision that people make, or actually an overt rejection of Jesus Christ. For them, it's saying, I don't want it. It pierces my heart. And I've been speaking with the Lord. I might as well share this real quick. I've been personally speaking with the Lord. I want to know the Lord. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in love with my Father, in love with the Holy Spirit. And I've been praying, asking the Lord to continually help me enter into more intimacy with Him. That's what I want. I mean, I'm hungry. I want more and more and more. And I said, Lord, you know, in my prayer time this week, earlier, I want to not just love you more, but people. And I want a heart and open doors to evangelize, to be able to share your gospel. And I have opportunities, and I take those opportunities when I can, when I feel like it's right. I don't always feel like I have time. And I don't always do it. But the Lord said to me, and this is for me personally, this isn't for you, this was for me. He said, I presented you opportunities, and I will present more. The reason you don't always share me, and I'm talking about the inspirational ways that Ifoma and Teresa do and others that I do know, the reason you don't is because you love you more than you love me and more than you love people. Now that's what he said to me. It wasn't condemning. It wasn't hurtful. It wasn't ostracizing. But you know, when you hear the Lord, it's like everything gets exposed. Yeah, you're right. My comfortable life, the things that I want to do, in some ways, yes, I have put them before you, Lord, and put them before people, and loved me more. Wow. That was a wake-up call for me. And I don't measure myself against other people or think about that. I'm thinking about my desire, what we're all called to, and that is sharing this gospel message and the reality of the truth. Everything that comes with this, getting people healed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, teaching them about all that comes with salvation, is all part of it. But this initial introducing them to Jesus is fundamental to all that. It really is. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24-27, that if anybody desires to follow me, come after me. Let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Whew. Painful. That's like going through the narrow gate. That's difficult. Then he said, he who loses his life for my sake will find it, and he who finds his life will lose it. Now, to lose your life for his sake means to kill it. Literally. Kill it. Because it doesn't exist anymore. So I'm going through the death process. Personally. Again. This process of death to self is a process. Amen. And it happens to all of us the more we want to walk with Him. The more He speaks with us, the more He teaches us, the more He reveals Himself, the more we hunger and thirst for Him and draws us nearer. He conforms us and molds us more and more into the image of Jesus. Romans 8, 28 and 29. This is all part of the plan for us that want, and I want. So I wanted to share that with you, because the reality of what we are born into is a war zone. Am I too loud?
No.
I feel like I'm screaming.
No.
Okay, I'll make sure. We are born into a war zone, and we are born again onto a battlefield. All of us, every one of us that gets born again are born onto a battlefield. When we're born into this war zone, right? We are. We're in a war zone. And it's a war for eternal souls. This is forever. For all of us. So how does that work? It has to do with our mindset. And that's the title of this series. Mindset. And last week, we covered the battlefield, because we are at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. And the culmination of the whole letter of Ephesians leads up to this last chapter, this last part, when Paul says in verse 10, "Finally, my brothers and sisters, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Finally, the culmination of everything, this training manual of Ephesians for the church. Ephesians was the most, at the time, most well-taught church, of the reality of what we face then and now and how this works. It's all about eternal souls. It's all about how we live. It's about our walk through this life, and it's about being in unity as a body, as a church, as believers. Because everything out there is trying to destroy not only us personally, but the church and every soul around. We have an enemy, and that is today's title. What is your mindset in these last days? There's so many people, you know, I still keep running into people who are believers who think, well, you know, this is just a phase, like all phases. It's going to pass. No, it is not going to pass. Not this one. We're headed to the end, to Jesus' return, and that's a real thing. That's a real deal. So, don't you think that the battle on the battlefield might get a little more hot and heavy? It is. It's a reality, you know. I mean, when we think about these things, it is important that we understand that we have the mindset, when we look at what's going on around us, this whole aspect of we have an enemy and he hates us and he will hurt us and go through us to get to God. That's the whole point. Right? Okay. So we're in a battle. We're on a battlefield. We're in a battle. And whether you fight or whether you don't fight, you're a target. It doesn't matter. Better to fight, because the victory is already ours. Amen?
Amen.
It's already. Belongs to us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I really have a picture I wanted to leave with us, because I'm not going to get finished with these four scriptures for a week or two yet. But Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, and I won't go to all the verses and read it, but what happens is Paul and his friend Silas, his partner, are in Philippi. And they're walking through the city and they're going to prayer. They're going to pray with other believers. And as they're going, there's a slave girl who's a fortune teller. She's following him. And she's hollering, top of her lungs, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they've come to proclaim the way of salvation. Listen." Well, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? You got a devil proclaiming the truth? That's a good question, isn't it? Because it rolled through my head in the past when I've read it. Because it is a distraction. And people knew her. They knew she was in the occult. They knew she was a part of the demonic. They knew that she was a fortune teller or a working in divination. And they knew that she was really a money-making machine, you know, for her masters, her owners. So she did this for many days, Acts says. And finally, Paul turned around one day. Now remember, Paul and Silas are on the battlefield. They're warriors, right? We're warriors too, same way. But this is a picture of what it means to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Paul turns to her and he says, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her." Boom! And the demon that was driving her left, and she no longer could read tarot cards or whatever she did. She couldn't do that anymore. She couldn't tell fortunes. She couldn't. There was no demonic operation in her. So her owners got mad. They lost their income. So they took Paul and Silas and they took them before the judges and they beat them with billy clubs. They beat them senseless. And then they put them into jail, into the inner prison. Now, inner prison at that time in Philippi was, there wasn't any electricity. There wasn't any light. There wasn't any restroom facilities. And they put their feet in stocks. And they made them camp there. Beaten, bloodied. Feet in stocks, sitting in. You can only imagine what. And at midnight, they were praying and singing hymns and worshiping God, giving glory to him in the midst of it all. And there was a supernatural earthquake that shook the prison and opened all the doors. And when the jailer heard it, saw it, he was going to kill himself. He was going to commit suicide because it would have been his life for anybody that escaped. And Paul says, from the stocks of the inner prison, don't do that. We're all here. Nobody's going anywhere. So he brought the guys out and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Oh my gosh. You have a big God. Paul says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you and your family." Because at that time, all the families were together. The father, the parents led, and the family followed. So, in essence, Paul and Silas, through the whole way in this whole ordeal that they went through, and they came out victoriously, were strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God always backs us up. Amen. Even when it's hard, even when we're facing trials. Let me read to you the rest of Ephesians chapter 6, 11 through 13. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I don't know about you, but a lot of times we read these scriptures and we kind of give it a cursory look. Or we think, well, okay, I got it. Or maybe we got it memorized, I don't know. And we say, well, how much do you really lean on it, understand it, and rely on it? Because in these last days, just like Paul and Silas, and use this as a template, just like Paul and Silas, we're going to go through stuff. And I keep telling you this. This, the Lord has given me this to do, and I don't always want to do this. I don't always want to talk about last days or stuff. But for the time being, this is what he has me on. Because this has been, I mean, very directly and very clearly, I want you to prep them. Because this is what's coming. Now this church, we're on the battlefield. All of us. That's reality. But this church, I believe, I'm telling you in the most unbiased way I can, is a different church. Because of the message that we have, because I believe the love of God abides here. You know, we don't have any cliques. Do you know how unusual that is? Do you know that everything that we do is focused on getting the message out there? And teaching people and equipping people and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Everything. We don't operate like a normal, smaller church. God has made us able to do things and to have an atmosphere here that not everybody else has. We're in the battle. God has got I might as well tell you, he's got a special assignment for us. And I am to get you ready. This isn't like lay back in complacency or come and sit or come just kind of get everything you get and go out. It is to come and get equipped to do and to live and to be victorious, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might for till the day you go home. All of us, not just the pastors or not just a select few. This is everybody. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because this is for all of us. This church is special. This battlefield is real. You know, Lonnie and his group have been praying regularly for what now? 6 months? Thereabouts? For revival. Because revival is on our hearts. We need revival. As wonderful as I feel like this church is, we need revival. And we need to be built up and have this continually in our lives and our hearts. You know why? Because things are coming that are going to be very difficult. And if you see what's going on outside of us, you can measure incrementally the reality of the word taking place. You can see it. You do not have to be a Bible scholar to see what's going on. Now, some believers say, you know, they're so dulled down to the reality of it, they say, you know what? It's been going on, I know some. Been going on like this for a long time. You know, yeah, you know, well, it'll be fine. It will not be fine. I am so sorry to break your bubble. But it will not be fine. Please get ready. Get yourself prepared. Please. Please. Hear me on this. Lonnie, keep battling. If you want to pray and you want to battle for revival, we need it desperately. We want to be part of this great awakening. I don't want to miss this. Not for my life, not for yours. Please join our group at 8:15. 8:15, Sunday mornings, back room. Okay, last days. Paul and Silas went through, at that time, these four scriptures. Be strong in the Lord and power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And when you've done all, stand. They did this all. They showed how to do this. Just exactly the way that they did. In all kinds of ways. So here we go. When we transfer what they did and how they were and how they stood and how they walk this through, this is what we've got to have. We've got some must-haves that have to be in our lives, in our mindsets. Here we go. We must have a last days mindset. We must have. If you don't have, you need it. We must have the will to fight. Whether you like it or not, you are a target. If you don't fight, you're a target. If you fight, you're a target, but you're a victor. We must not fight a spiritual battle in the flesh. This is a spiritual battle. And when you hear things coming out of Washington, or you hear things coming out of the state, or you hear things on the internet, or you read them, or you watch them, and you go, ay, yay. Of course, you wonder what's real and true. you got to understand what's behind this is a spiritual battle. That's the reality of this. We're not fighting people. You must fight to win. You don't fight to have a draw where everybody comes out equal. You fight to win. Your enemy, this enemy, is hostile 24/7. Middle of the night, middle of the day, at work, with friends, among family. I mean hostile. Hostile to you and to me. Are you hostile to him? Most believers are so dulled down to the fact that we are in a spiritual, we're living on a spiritual battlefield, like it or not. But so many believers are so dulled down to this fact that they don't pay attention. And when things come in the flesh, it's like, well, you know, maybe it'll get better, or maybe maybe I'll sign a petition. Nothing wrong with petitions. But we're not fighting a spiritual battle in the flesh, and we don't get that because we don't have a last days mindset. And our enemy is hostile, like I said, all the time. And we must have a mindset that is based on eternal life, not this life. Based on eternal life that's beyond this life. We get so focused and microscopic on, well, here and now in our own lives, just like I shared with you this morning about I'm comfortable. There's times I'm just comfortable and I don't want to move out of my own life. I like it. I like hopping on the motorcycle when I can. I like it. Doesn't mean the Lord wants me to pitch it. No. But my mindset and my heart is changing. Because I want him more. Does it mean I'm going to give up the motorcycles? Well, I would if he told me to, again. It happened once before in my life. But here's the fact. We don't think about, most believers aren't thinking about eternal life. We're caught in this trap that says, I'm living for the here and now. I'm living to make a buck. I'm living to take care of my family. I'm living to do this. I'm living to do that. That's great. That's what we're supposed to do. But we don't have a mindset that is, hey, listen, there's a forever beyond this life, period. All right. Finally, a mindset that says we're a soldier, we're a warrior, we're a victor, not a victim. Because the propensity is to live as a victim. You're not victims. None of you. And none of us. Amen? We're victors. Amen. All right. Ephesians 6:10, we did that. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I covered a little bit of Ephesians 6, verse 11 last week. I want to do it more in depth this week because we need to understand what we have. And it's not reading the list down in Ephesians and going, yeah, the helmet of salvation, yeah, the prep your feet with the gospel and so forth. I mean, this is a part of what God's given us, but here it is. Put on the whole armor of God, being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, first of all, to be able to stand is to be firm, immovable, and established. It's like, I'm set. I am set. I'm not going to be moved. I can't be moved. You know, you may hit me and I may bounce a little bit, but I can't be moved. I am set where I believe. I am set with what I know. I am set with my mindset toward God. I am set with my mindset toward Jesus Christ. I am set in the Holy Spirit and his power. I'm set. I'm not moved. I'm established. There's no going back. I've given my life. This is his. Do what you want. But you know what? I got you beat, devil. I'm set. This is done. You know how many times that the enemy would have you waver, back off, quit, stop? Because he beats on you a little bit. You don't beat back. This is what happens. This is not us. This is not a victorious mindset. This is somebody taking a beating. You don't have to. Yes, are you going to get beat? Yes, sometimes we do. All of us do. All of us. But you know what? You beat back. And you thrash. And you're hostile toward the one who's doing that because you're the winner. It's automatic if you just fight. Amen? But you got to know what your armor is. So stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand firm, immovable, and established against the wiles of the devil. The schemes, the deceptions, the plans, the tricks, the smoke and mirrors. That you may be able to stand against all of it. Not just some of it, but all of it. Armor. What is armor? I'm going to go through these three things. Armor is what you trust in to protect you. What you trust in to work for you. Now, not every believer knows what all their armor is. And not every believer thinks about it. But I want you to think about this. What do I trust in the Lord? I mean, what not just, you know, on this over here, like maybe. I'm talking about what are you steadfast and immovable in? What are you fixed in, established in? That's your armor as far as the word goes. What is it? What's the truth? What is the reality to you? You may not have everything right now, but boy, what you got, it is your armor. And you know it. What you trust in to protect you. And remember, this is a spiritual fight. This is not flesh. So this is spiritual armor. Well, number one, I'm going to give you some of them. Number one is the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Every name, the name of Jesus. Number two, the training and instruction that you've had in the Word of God and will have. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Right? Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped, thoroughly equipped, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know part of your good work is rubbing the devil's face in the sewage he created. Huh. Baptism of the Holy Spirit be the next one. With power. Acts 1:8, you shall be endued with power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you. Why don't we live in that? Why don't most believers live in that power? Why? It's not really their armor. Is it your armor? Yeah, it's armor. That's a weapon. These are armor and their weapons. Most of them are interchangeable. Why don't most? Don't know how to use it. Got it, but don't know how to use it. What do I do with this thing? It's just dangling here. All this power of the Holy Spirit just sitting here, vibrating, wanting to move, wanting to crush the demonic, wanting to overcome, wanting to heal and deliver, wanting to move through you powerfully. I mean, just let me at him. We don't, because we don't know how to use it. It's not part of our armor, but it can be. It is. You get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then it's learn, okay? Get the instruction. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're yours. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Wow. Full up. Every one of those is yours. Mine. That's all part of your armor. Tongues. The gift of tongues. Well. You know, sometimes I hate that clock. I mean, I don't hate it, but it's like, you're my enemy, clock. Now, one time I had a... have I got time, Lord? Okay, real quick. I'm leading a Bible study. I'd never led a Bible study in my life. This is a while back. I'm leading a Bible study, and in the Bible study... we're finished up with the Bible study. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I didn't know anything. I just said, well, we ought to have a Bible study. Great, you lead it. I'm like, oh. So I'm muddling my way along. I told my pastor about it, and muddling my way along, and we got done with the meeting, and there was three or four of us left in the Bible study, and one person wanted prayer. Oh, great, okay. I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was speaking in tongues, but I didn't have a clue what this was all about. I had received the power of God. I didn't have a clue. So here's what happened. I went and I laid hands on this person and I started to pray in tongues. And I'm praying in tongues. All of a sudden, this blood-curdling scream behind me. And the person, I couldn't help but look back. And my eyeballs must have popped open that big. And the person had bent double. I mean bent double. Screaming. And while I'm praying in tongues, this is too scary. Shouldn't be. And while I'm praying in tongues, this voice was not theirs, came out and said, "Stop that! Stop that! Stop talking like that! Stop speaking like that! Stop it! Stop it!" And that hair rose up on the back of my neck. I said, "In Jesus' name, get out of here." And it went. And everything was quiet. And we all looked at each other like, what happened? That was my first experience with a demon. I've had many more. Look, I don't capitalize on this stuff. I don't spend a lot of time on it. But you've got to know that we are dealing with a hostile enemy. Yes. And he makes his presence known lots of ways, lots of times, lots of things. Just like Paul casts out a demon, you were built and equipped to do the same thing. To heal the oppressed, deliver them from demons, speak the gospel, and do it in power. Yes. In power. But see, it's not your power. It's his. It's all his. Every facet of it. Another part of your armor is your authority. Your authority. We all have authority in Jesus. Luke 10:19, there's much more than this scripture. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample serpents and scorpions and over all of the power, the supernatural power of the enemy. And nothing," this enemy I'm talking about, "nothing shall by any means hurt you." Part of your armor. Part of your armor. These are the things that we trust in for our protection, our preservation, and for walking into victory, to going forward. Our words, our confession. You know you have what you say. Mark 11:22-24. You get to have what you say, what you speak. There's power that is released. The power of God is released when you speak. Every time. Every single time when you speak to something, power is released. Your faith is in God, right? And things change, whether it's an attack on your body or something personal or somebody else you're praying for or maybe something in the atmosphere. I don't know. The next part of your armor is faith. 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 Simple, powerful, life-changing faith in God. Faith. Part of your armor. The next one is prayer. Part of your armor. Prayer. Petition. "Lord, this is what I have. Here's my laundry list." But it's not always about us. This is led by the Holy Spirit. It might be for the church. It might be for family. It might be for whatever it is. It's intercession. Intercession. You don't think you need to intercede? You need to wipe that from the map of your mind. Your mindset needs to change. Yes, we do. We're all called to intercede. Now, there's some intercession or ways that are taught about intercession in the church that are not right. To intercede for somebody means you're speaking to the Lord on their behalf for them. But it means it's sincere. It's from the heart. It's real. You're listening to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Personal prayer. Prayer in tongues. Prayer in our understanding. Both. Lastly, I'm going to lump these all together. Our armor is praise. Worship. Paul and Silas praised the Lord when they were in the midst of that horrible, horrible place with the beatings and the pain. Well, why didn't they just command the manacles to fall off? Why didn't they just, why didn't they do a number of things that we might think they should have? Ask them when you get there. When you see them in heaven, ask them. Praise, worship, joy, peace, wisdom, righteousness. Righteousness is part of our armor. These all are. There's more. What do you trust in to protect and preserve you as you stand against the schemes, the tricks, the plans of the devil? Again, this is behind everything that's going on. This is the Antichrist spirit. This is meant to take us down. Don't get lax and don't get complacent. The battlefield, the battle doesn't quit. Ever. Why should we be surprised when we have an attack when things are kind of moving along so well? Why should we? You have an enemy. Stand guard. To stand, okay? To stand. That you may stand against all the wiles of the enemy. That is to be kept, literally in the Greek, to be kept intact. Wow. To be kept intact all the way through to your victory that's already yours. It means we are preserved by the word of God and his power in life and death forever. I want to give you this one. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. We only normally read the first part of this. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we leave it there. The rest of the scripture is, and they did not love their lives even to death. Whether we die in the middle of this and go home to be with the Lord, or we see it through all the way and we come out, we've won the victory. If we stand, stay intact, stay established, stay set, and stay hostile toward the enemy, we've got the victory because he's already won it for us. We win either way. You've got to remember that sometimes believers die in the fight. Sometimes it happens. That's a hard thing to swallow when you understand the fullness of his grace and his love and his care and his promises and long life and fulfillment. But sometimes in the midst of the battle, believers die. In the middle of the fight, they still win. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, staying strong, and don't love our lives even to the death, because our life here isn't all that important except what we do, how we live, and what we do. Amen? Amen. All right. I wish I had time to go through the rest of it. We'll finish this up, this scripture up next week and start on Ephesians 4:12. We're going to start wrapping this up. But it is important that we understand these things. And it is important that we know how this applies to our lives in these days. Because these are the tools for us to be able to live and fulfill in victory what Jesus paid for us. Because we got it. It's ours. Right? And he always leads us in triumph, no matter what. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Thank you for the preciousness of who you are, for Jesus, and for the Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to understand what it is to walk and live in victory, to love you, to love others, to see the victory take place in our lives regularly. And Lord, would you help us to rise up more and more into the position you have had for us as individuals and as a church from this point on. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody need prayer this morning? Anybody? No? No? Okay. Ifoma? Can I interrupt? Would you mind coming up? Joanne? Can you also come up? Anybody else? Anybody else need prayer? Come on up. Hey, come on. What are you waiting for? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Pastor Rosie, you got 5 minutes? Come on up. Pastor Sean, 5 minutes? Let's just get it done, shall we? Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. This is not a big deal for Him. Anything you face, it's not a big deal. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. You are privileged people, no matter what, because of who you are to Him and in Him. Anybody else need prayer? Cindy, can you come up? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Blake, can you come up? Thank you, Lord. All right, we got one for everybody. Yep. Yep, you're set? Okay. When we pray in faith. We pray in expectation and confidence. Not only in who our God is, but what we have. Healing, breakthroughs, deliverances, freedoms, all given to us already through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's already given. These people are up here to pray for these to receive. The biggest part about receiving in ministry is learning how to receive, how to accept something that's given to you. We have a hard time with that. We think we know how, but we don't. It's just saying, okay, yes, Lord, I want it. Yes, Lord. Ryan, you come on up here too, will you? Yes, Lord. And then saying, it's mine, because it's already been given to you by grace through faith. Amen? I want you to see Ifoma, okay? Yep. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, have a great week, everybody. My heart, my prayer, this is not like a normal end but to the service, but my heart, my prayer, as you allow the Lord to make your mindset ready for these days and these times, that these last days mindset becomes your filter through the Word at this point. Amen? Amen. Have a blessed week. You are dismissed. I love you all. Thank you.